Thank you for listening to Podcast Rock City. Don't forget, you can join us live on YouTube and Facebook every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/podcastrockcity, where you can join our Patreon for a whole week for free just to try it out. Now let's go ahead and get to the show. Take two. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, Sunny Hollywood Pooney.
I'm back, baby. Joe, thanks for the Cowboys towel, by the way.
Oh, you got the Cowboys towel.
I got it. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Did it smell at all?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, it didn't before I got it. It smells now.
Right down there is the very talented Joey Quesada.
Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back, Pooney. It's so good to see you.
Whatever. Yes. Liar.
Yes. Okay. And up there is, of course, the lovely, beautiful, talented, the goddess of thunder, Lee. How are you, Lee?
I'm great.
So, all right. So we are a few minutes late, but we were doing the show. I hit the button to go live, and for some reason, it didn't go live. But we're here now. Everybody was like,
"We literally did what Gene did the day of the live fight."
The same thing.
Yes, it's true. I was looking at the comments, and I said, "Somebody wrote, I guess they didn't push their clocks forward." And I was like, "What the hell does that mean?" And then I looked up. I was like, "We're not even live." Anyway, it's so good to see you guys. We were just having a great time. As a matter of fact, Joey had the funniest line where he said this about Sonny being on a cruise. Go.
Where's an iceberg when you need one?
Why are you wishing harm on the other 4,374 people?
If I could take, listen, it's a very worthy sacrifice if I can get rid of you.
Oh my God. Wow. That's so brutal. Anyway, all right. So a lot is going on this week. I want to hurry up. I want to tell you guys, though, at the end of the show, we have a new segment. It really doesn't have anything to do with KISS. It's just something that's fun. We did it last week. We had a good time doing it, and we're going to do it again this week. So make sure you stick around to the end. And let's just get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So KISS has put out the Creatures box set, and it's $743 trillion.
No, it's 900, what?
Oh.
57 cents.
And $957.50. And where do they get the... So, all right. So, Joey, you think that they're all sitting around doing what now?
This is not a joke. I know what this is going to sound like a joke. I really believe someone or a crew in the KISS camp was around drinking one night and they're drunk and they're laughing at all of us. And they're like, how much do you think those morons will spend on another box set? Why don't we charge them $1,000? No, they'll never go for it. Let's just hit on sale now and see what happens. I really believe that because this is really gone too far. The banner last week, you know, whatever they did for that the 50th anniversary of the first KISS album was $1,500 or something. Now this $1,000 Creatures box set that, just so we know, everyone already got for like $200. It was a cool box set, which was probably, I didn't buy it, of course, but it was worth it. Something like that for $200 is worth it. $1,000 for the exact same box set. It's insane. Please, anyone in the comments that bought this, please tell me why you bought this.
What's in this thing?
Okay, so is it... Okay, just so I know. It's the other box set was awesome, but it wasn't 15 glow-in-the-dark records awesome.
Oh, yeah. Did you, need
Joe,
those.
Did you buy it? Tell me the truth. No joking around. Did you
Joe
buy it?
Joe has not purchased this.
Yet.
Is the, yeah, the yet is coming.
No.
The,
so, okay. So, what it looks like is, and I haven't opened mine in a little bit, but it looks like they had a shit ton left over of the, I messed that up, of the stuff that was in the box set for CDs. And they went, hey, let's make sure that we do a vinyl one and just take all that stuff and stick it back in the box and then put some records in there. So like it's all the records. Same stuff, right? All the same stuff, but vinyl, and they glow in the dark.
But with no joking around, everyone should say, you know what? Fuck you, Kiss. And we're finished getting destroyed and raped by you. We're not doing it anymore. Don't buy it. And then they can't sell stuff like this anymore. What we want is we want another Kissology. We want some live video. We want more off the soundboard. We don't want $1,000 products. Okay, we're not all, you know, Kohl's Cash Poonie. We can't do this.
Okay, so here's my question: do you think that when this product comes out, is that Kiss, like Paul and Gene, putting it out, or is that the label putting it out?
I think it's the label, but I think Paul and Gene, I don't know what the contract is with the label, of course, but I can't imagine Gene and Paul don't have some creative input in this stuff and even price points. I can't imagine whether it's Gene or Paul or Doc or someone high in the Kiss camp. It can't just be the label putting this stuff out for $1,000. Maybe it is, but I really don't believe that it is.
Do Sonny? You think that one person in 7 million would buy it?
No.
Because someone... one person in 7 million buys it, you get 1,000 copies, is $1 million.
You're right. You're right, Poonie. But here's my question.
It's $1 million.
But what I think about is it's what's the cost to make this product? And what's the upcharge for it, right? A lot of times you want to double the upcharge and stuff like that. So if this product costs Kiss $150 to print all in and out, let's just say, hypothetically, I have no idea, right? Then you're charging upwards of $300, maybe even $400, $500, right? So you're upcharging double, right? Because you're going to make your money back that way. There's no way something like this costs them $400 or $500 to print. There's just no way. That banner, there's no way a banner costs $600-$700 to make, and then you're going to upcharge it to double that price to $1,500. It's not the way product placement and products work. You make a product to sell. This is not made to sell.
Yeah,
it's made to sell enough. Maybe. You price it to where 1 in 7 million can buy it, and you make $1 million.
Yeah,
and
but
you keep Cooney, making $1 million.
No, but you're counting the people in the world. You're not counting.
Yeah.
What about Kiss? How many Kiss fans are there in the world?
But one out of 7 million. Okay, so let's say 2% of those are Kiss fans.
Let's say there's 7 million Kiss fans, if okay. There is that many, right? So okay. One person buys it. It's worth doing.
No, but let's see. Okay, well, let's say it's a 7 million Kiss fans.
Yep.
So would 1 in 7,000 people buy it?
Yeah,
no way.
One in 7,000 fans.
Possibly.
Really? You 1 in 7,000 fans would not buy this?
I don't know. Let's see. I mean, Joe, we got a couple thousand people who watch this every week. I want to hear. Let's hear a poll.
All right. Yeah,
we got one air in four.
Didn't buy it.
Yes. Probably the rich Kiss fans like Sebastian Bach and John.
If you knew what I spent my money on, you guys would be like, what the hell is wrong with Joe? I bought this paper.
Oh, good God.
What?
Jesus Christ. What? See what I mean?
What in the world?
Jed, we can't bring these types of topics up when we have Joe on the podcast. It's a word. All okay. my whole theory, everything just got blown right out of the water in 2 seconds.
So I can tell you this. In Australia, somebody is watching from Australia, and they posted that in Australia, it's 1,400 plus Australian bucks. Whatever, like, there it is.
Yeah, and that's probably just the exchange rate.
Yeah,
because it's coming from the States, my guess is.
But no, Joe, listen, I'm not saying the price point is way off. I'm saying what you're getting for the price point, right? I'm more than happy to spend $1,000 on something fantastic. What would you say? Let's just say, like, you know, all the products that come in this. Let's just say they put out a DVD, Blu-ray box set, or whatever, however you want to purchase your, you know, your video these days, whether it's streaming, DVD, Blu-ray, a box set of a concert from every tour, from the first tour to now. I'd pay $1,500 for that.
It'd have to be more than what's in it.
Yeah. But this, whoever that Facebook user is, had a great point. Okay, they play a theater. It has 10,000 people. You don't think one of these people would walk out with this? At least one would. At least one would.
But you think that's worth,
bam, $1 million
on demand? You think?
Oh, hell no. Hell no. It's not worth it to me at all. And you know, is it wrong? It's a business. I think double charging what it costs is wrong. I work for a company that doesn't work on 100% profit margin. So, but if you can sell it,
that should be the limit. That should be the limit up, double charging up. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'm gonna tell you that this box set is not worth $1,000.
It's sold out already. You can't get it.
Oh, I didn't know it was sold out. It's not sold out.
If you go to the website, it's sold out. If you go to the website,
so they only made like 10 of them.
You don't know that.
Bye, Joe.
I'm looking. It does not say sold out.
It doesn't say sold out on the website.
I'm clicking on it.
I could have swore I saw it the other day.
No, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it.
People are buying one to open, one to stash. Good Lord.
Right. There you go.
I don't see anything that says it's sold out. So have mercy. All right. So let's
get off.
And Joey, quick, if it's print on demand, it's even better because you don't have any stock of it. You can sell as much as you want of it. Oh, my God. If they figured that out, we are in for hell.
But you don't think, Sonny, you know, listen, you're in read, you know price points, you know how to sell product. You don't think in the long run they price something like this reasonable, they make more money?
Yeah, it just depends on what you believe, right? Like if you could sell 5x, if you took it down to $200, yeah. If you could sell 10x, if you took it down to $100, yeah. Right? But I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to compare it to some of these other box sets that are out there. Like, I think Metallica put something out there. Guns N' Roses has something out there now. Dokken has something out there now.
For that price?
Not that price, but if you extrapolate what's going on and all the shit they're adding, I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to pay for the avatars. I don't know what the hell they're doing. All I know is it's the same 9 shitty songs. So you're paying, you know, $120 for Danger. I don't know why.
Danger might be worth $150. That's a great song. I love it loud. It's coming.
So all right. So that's interesting. Sonny, before we get out of the news, you were on the unofficial Kiss cruise last week, otherwise known as the Ace Frehley is an hour and a half late 2 times in a row cruise.
Oh boy. Here we go.
So we talked before. You said the first show was pretty good. The second show wasn't good at all.
So the first show, I only saw half of it. I left right before he had the smoke bomb mishap. So I guess he accidentally turned on the smoke bomb during Cold Gin. Yeah. I had to leave because Courtney Cronin Dold had a comedy show going. And I felt bad for her because every comic in that show had Ace jokes and Kiss jokes set up because Ace was already supposed to be done. Right, so those fans would have went.
Oh, shit, jeez.
So now she was doing the show while they were playing. Right, so there was a joke. I'll give you an idea. Jeff Scott Soto was one of the first time comedian things. That's what they do. It's called punchlines, backlines. Pretty fun. So Jeff goes, "Hey, real quick, I want to let you guys know that if you didn't know, I worked with Bob Kulick and Bruce Kulick. You know, since Kent's never mentioned it on their last show, Dead Room."
Oh, really?
Dead Room. I'm in the corner laughing. Dead. I'm dying in the corner.
Yeah, because all the Kiss fans are at Ace.
That's right.
Cricket. Unbelievable. All right. So, we'll obviously now we're going to go to Patreon after this show. So if you guys have not joined our Patreon, if you go into the comment section, wherever you're watching this, either YouTube or Facebook, in the comment section is the link to check out our Patreon. It's 100% free for the first week. You can check it out. There's a ton of stuff on there for you to enjoy for free for the first week. And if you like it, stick around with us. More is happening. We're going to do a show after this. But before that, we have to get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Okay, so Gene Simmons did a Q&A on Facebook. Sort of, it was a Q&A. It wasn't a live. It was live, but it wasn't a live Q&A. I know because I sent a question in a week earlier, or at least a few days earlier, and he did answer the question on the thing. So he wasn't looking at like all the messages, you know, that were going up on the side or underneath, you know, how a Facebook Live does. But yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. This could consume the show. We're gonna see how long it takes for us to get through this. We're not gonna watch the whole thing because you guys could do that, and a lot of you saw it. But I was really interested in getting everybody else's opinions on some of the stuff that Gene said. So I went in, and I found a few spots where you know, Gene got asked pretty good questions, I thought. You guys up for that?
Joe, let's hear where he said your name.
That's later.
Oh,
he didn't answer his question anyway.
He didn't even answer my question.
I know I had my favorite thing that he said.
Okay, so I'll pause it after certain things because I want to get your guys' opinion on them. Okay, you guys ready? Joey? Yep.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Uncle Gene. We had a few problems pressing buttons, but when does it not happen? Everybody gets these things. So I'll try to cover as many subjects as possible. And thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. I just want to clear the air about a few things. I'm getting choked up.
Okay.
Do you plan on going to any?
So I want to point out that he just said he wants to clear the air on a few things. And I have no idea what he's talking about because I didn't feel like I got too many answers about the future. Have you guys watched this? Joey, have you seen this?
I think I saw the whole thing. I don't remember him clearing the air on anything.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's there is one thing that I would consider clearing the air. We'll get to that. Okay. So let's see. The first, this is the, let's go here to 32 seconds. Here we go.
I'm with all kinds of ideas, but my dance card is pretty full. When is the Gene Simmons Band coming to the USA? I thought I was going to jump on the Deep Purple tour, but that fell through. I swallowed a frog or whatever that phrase is. So at some point in the near future, anything's possible. Will you do it?
So Gene was trying to get on Deep Purple, the Deep Purple tour. What do you think about that, Joey?
I think that's cool. Is Deep Purple doing a full run like this summer? When's their tour? Do we know?
I don't know.
They haven't announced any U.S. dates. They've only announced Europe, Asia, and I think that's it. But they haven't announced any U.S. dates. I looked at it yesterday.
I'm surprised that Gene would jump on a tour like that. I would think more what he's doing right now would be what he wants to do. A couple festivals here and there. A full tour opening for another band like that, that's a little surprising to me.
And my guess is Deep Purple wouldn't have paid the money he wanted.
I would think they wouldn't. I don't think Gene's draw in a Deep Purple crowd would be worth what he's asking. I don't know what he's asking, but I would agree with that.
Lee, so obviously you and I mean, we, if, I only, I don't know a ton of Deep Purple. I know a bit, but not a ton. And I would definitely, I mean, since I've never seen them before, that would definitely draw me.
You'd know a lot more songs than you thought.
So my question to Joey and Sonny, and Joey, I'm going to start with you, is a band like Deep Purple that's legendary, we'll say, they benefit from having a Gene Simmons opening rather than a band that's just getting started. Yes.
Oh my God. Of course. I mean, I don't know what Deep Purple's draw is right now. I can't imagine they're going to do full sheds or arenas and stuff like that. I mean, with Gene involved, I think it would help the case. Again, it depends. It's all like, you know, what we were talking about before, cost and effect. So if Gene's going to draw an extra, you know, what is Gene's band going to draw? 2,000 fans, maybe? Is it worth the money that Gene might ask? I don't know.
Sonny, what do you think?
Yeah, if Gene doesn't take them from theater to arena, it's not worth it.
Yep.
Because Purple can sell theaters on their own.
Got you.
That's exactly the point. Yep.
I see.
So when you say an arena, so we have a couple of them here, right? We have a few of them here. In Georgia, and one of them, Lee, the Gwinnett one, right? You've been there.
Which, the amphitheater or
the arena in Gwinnett?
Oh yeah, I've been there.
So, would you say that's bigger or smaller than State Farm?
Smaller
by a bit, right?
I think State Farm Arena isn't one of the biggest ones. Okay. Besides Mercedes-Benz.
Right. So you know, getting to a smaller arena, even though that's, you know, a decent size, I don't know that they could pull that off. All right.
I think it defeats the purpose of what the Gene Simmons band is going to come out and do. I don't want to go see Gene in an arena. I want to see Gene should be doing these, you know, smaller theaters, you know, 1,000, 2,000 seaters, whether he's selling them out or not. That's what I want to do. Why doesn't he just do a run of those? He'll get a great guarantee on those runs.
Yes.
He'll pack the place. It'll be just him. He'll have full say of how long he plays and what he plays and, you know, what he can and can't do. That's the route I would go. I know the festival thing is cool because the notoriety of being on a big festival. Gene wants, you know, to say he played Wacken and played in front of 85,000 people. But he's Gene Simmons. He's already done all that with Kiss.
You did it.
Yeah, do a small theater tour so we can come and see you.
Here's the problem with the festivals, and here's a problem with opening for a classic band, that if you're trying to create a draw, right? At some point, not all those fans are for you.
Yeah.
So does that steer you away from Lonely as the Hunter and put you at Detroit Rock City?
Of course.
Because nobody knows what the fuck Lonely the Hunter is, but if he plays his own show in a theater, he can play whatever the fuck he wants.
Right.
He could play the places Ace played when he was here, you know.
Yeah, but Ace played Love Gun.
Right.
But that's a smaller place.
But that's a great point, Sonny. I think you hit it right on the head, too. I think if Gene does an opening act for Deep Purple, he's going to be forced to play the Kiss hits. Because the Deep Purple people won't know anything else. And of course the Kiss people will be there for some people will be there for Gene. But if he does what we want to see him do, which is the theater tour or club, you know, club/theater tour, that's what we want. We want to see, you know, Charisma and, you know, X-ray eyes and all this fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Here we go. I might start them a second or two ahead. This way we don't miss anything.
Stay tuned to your Bat channel. Would you or Paul consider doing a Kiss cruise with some key bands? Sure. Why not?
I don't know what that means. What key bands? You know, it's interesting because we haven't heard them mention the Kiss cruise, you know, in a bit. You know, and my understanding is that they were pretty much done. But, you know, basically that question was, would you consider, right, Sonny?
Yeah, I'll tell you that on Monsters of Rock cruise, and there's, you know, I'm sure there's some people on that cruise that are in the in crowd with Kiss. They are convinced there is a 2025 Kiss cruise. Oh. That it's already booked, that the ship's already picked, that they just have not announced it yet.
So we're talking no makeup, of course.
So I,
right.
Of course, I who knows?
Well,
I don't even know where the information came
from. Right. When they did their final cruise, they announced that there would be another cruise, but it was going to be, Kiss playing the Sail Away, and then Gene doing something with his band, and Paul doing something with Soul Station, and you know, that kind of stuff. So, it'd be interesting. All right, Joey, what do you think? You know, you haven't been on a Kiss cruise. Is it time to go if they do it again?
I'd be very surprised if they never did another one. I think it's a moneymaker. I think it's a no-brainer. Especially with a year off. I think that's a smart move. Take the year off and do them again next year. It's a vacation for them and their family. They do the Sail Away. Gene is already out doing his band. He does a show. Bruce does a show. Paul does a Soul Station. Tommy and Eric do something. I think it's a no-brainer. If anything, it actually intrigues me more.
It's 2 years off, just so you know.
Yeah, right, right.
It'll be 2 years off. Okay, let's check out the next question.
Thing that beats hard work. What are you going to miss most about no longer touring as Kiss? Well, obviously, getting in front of you guys. No greater love hath man or woman. There's no such thing. You can't buy it in a store, that love that we felt for 50 years. Would you return to...
That's all he misses.
I doubt it.
I doubt that. So what was weird about this whole thing, it was obvious that he was not doing live questions.
Right.
And it was also obvious because he touches a piece of paper at the end that stuff was printed for him to read.
Right.
But it's also obvious that he had not read it ahead of time.
Right.
Because he would have had better answers to some of these questions.
But here's the thing, though. It does make it a little more genuine this way, right?
You want it on the fly. There's no doubt.
You want it on the fly. So, he's not, I'm going to miss my friends. I don't really get to see my friends. I miss Tommy.
He would have never said that. I would have, if I was him, I would have said the fans.
Right.
That's the only logical answer.
Right. Yeah.
All right. There's I think maybe one or two.
Buy it in the store, that love that we felt for 50 years. Would you return to acting now that Kiss is no longer touring? Loved your performance and wanted dead or alive. Yeah. Well, they killed me. How about that?
They put
a grenade in my fucking mouth and blew my head off.
It was awesome.
I lost my head.
That was a great movie.
So I'm guessing he's not actually going to do any of my movies.
I have that on VHS, baby.
Do you?
I love that.
Yes. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I have it on VHS too. They went on. He went on to say that production companies was got three movies coming out, and he said a superhero thing at the end. I think he means Robert Downey Jr. I don't think he's going to do anything with Iron Man. But most likely, one of the superhero actors is probably.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the director.
Oh, I thought he was talking about the actors. But either way,
right? I don't know. I can't remember what there was a question.
Actually, what's going to happen?
Oh, here it is.
American Idol just asked me to pop on, so I'm going to be on American Idol April 17th, and then I think for the live version, April 21st, and then quickly head off to South America to headline. Yeah, the Gene Simmons Band is headlining a day at the Summerfest there in Sao Paulo for, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 fans. John Kulina.
Okay, so he's going to be on American Idol. That's pretty cool. The only thing is at the very end, he kind of trashes not American Idol so much, you know, basically he says at the very end, he says, you know, American Idol's cool and all, but it's like, you have to put in the hard work. You're not going to be able to just walk on stage and become famous. Yeah. He was like basically Kelly Clarkson. And then who else do we know? You know,
true.
We forgot about Carrie Underwood, but that's okay.
That's a good one. All right, here we go.
Cody Crypt. What a great name. Cody Crypt, K-R-Y-P-T. Gene, I'd love to know what your experience was like specifically tracking bass in the studio for the first three albums. Well, at the time, we basically played live in the studio. There wasn't enough time or experience for us to know, okay, maybe I'll start with the bass or put a guitar down, then put the bass on. We basically played as a trio in the studio and then started to double the guitars and so on.
You know, I'm amazed that I've never seen any kind of film, or I've seen pictures of them in the studios. You guys have seen the pictures, right?
70s, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm surprised that there's no video. I mean, the only reason I say this is because Bill Acoin was such a film guy. He was a TV guy, right?
I know. Listen, there's got, even if it's not the original recordings, there's got to be footage of them. I know there was a full Carnival of Souls recording session, you know, videoed. How do they not release any of that stuff? That's what I want to see.
We've
literally never seen real footage of Kiss in the studio making a record. How great would that be? Any record. I don't care what record it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's finish this one here.
Al Hawthorne says, what do meet and greets look like in the future? My son was born January 19th. We'd love for him to meet you.
Maniacs.
You know what? I don't know.
You're meeting an avatar.
As time develops, we're going to figure stuff out. In a lot of ways, Kiss has ended, but it's also beginning. You'll see what I mean. Oh, the boy. Future is going to be astonishing. But Kiss, the touring band, has stopped playing. Jennifer Boyd Harper.
Okay, so once again, we're still getting no information about that. You know, you're basically telling us you're going to see it. Don't worry, you're going to see it. You know, the last time Kiss put out any kind of information about their future now is what, 2 months ago, Sonny?
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah. You're not going to keep hearing about the avatars. You're not going to see little clips. I think they're going to wait till that thing's really close to baked.
Yeah, no, you're right. Let's see. I don't think that I saved it, but there was one other thing that kind of cracked me up. Well, if I don't find it, I got to make sure that I mention it to you guys. Let's see. 9:59.
It's the same thing that cracked me up, I wonder.
Comics guy was really doing a cool thing. Rob Frame says, what's one thing you've done that you regret doing and one thing you didn't do that you regret not doing? <it. clears throat> I'm not sure how to answer the first part because my conscience is pretty clear. No drugs, no booze, no never hurt anybody that I can recall. One thing that I do regret is not having the come to Jesus moment with Peter and with Ace earlier on. You know, when there was trouble in paradise and they started to abuse themselves here and there, we should have put our foot down much earlier because we should have cared enough to say, look, you're ruining your life. It's going to affect the band. And if you continue down this road, you're not going to be in the band. We unfortunately waited years before having that discussion. So I apologize for that.
Okay. Joey, who's he apologizing to there?
I think he's apologizing to us. Fans. He's saying that he wishes he talked to Peter and Ace earlier about, you know, the drugs and the alcohol, and he could have saved that original lineup. That's what I take from that.
So would that have saved it though? I mean, you know,
I mean, well, there's no way to know, but
they're going to do it.
But like, so, you know, it's almost like the interesting thing there is that, you know, when he says, I apologize for that, why would he? I mean, I get that I'm a fan, you know, but why would he apologize to me for that? It's, you know, it's almost like, you know, you could take it two different ways. He could be apologizing to Ace and Peter too. He really doesn't trash them as much as you know.
I don't know. I don't hear it like that at all. I really do think in his own way, he is trashing Peter and Ace right there. And it bothers me. Listen, I'm not saying the drugs and alcohol. I've never taken a drug in my life. So I'm not saying that stuff didn't hurt Kiss. Of course it did. But the stuff Gene and Paul were doing at the time, which I'm talking 79, 80, 81, 82, hurt Kiss just as much. I really believe that. Meaning Gene going Hollywood with Cher and Diana Ross and being in his own little bubble world, you know, trying to become that mogul Gene Simmons. And, you know, Paul with his, you know, his own self insecurities and, you know, psychiatrists and stuff like that. I think they all had tons of issues at that point. I think Ace and Peter had drug and alcohol issues. I think Gene had this fascination with women and Hollywood. And I think Paul had his own inner demons. I think they all equally contributed to that original lineup breaking up. I can't stand that they rewrite history and blame Peter and Ace.
Sonny?
I think he's apologizing for the situation, and I get it. So I've got, you know, we've had kids, right? Some of us have had kids. I've got a new guy starting work for me here in a couple of days. New folks test the waters, right? And kids will push you to, what can I get away with? What's okay? What's not okay? And the better you control that in the situation, the better off you are. Now, the guy starting for me in a couple of days, he's not one of my kids, but one of the first things I'm sitting down with him is like, dude, if you want to make me mad, here's like the top five ways to make me mad. Let's not even go there, right? I don't know who you are. I'm just telling you, here's five things that make me mad immediately. And if you can stay away from that, we're going to have a great time. Otherwise, I'm going to have a tough time with you.
Sonny, I don't mind asking, but what are those five things?
Oh, don't worry. You'll find out because you do four out of the five.
Hey, all you guys that are watching live right now. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you on this Sunday evening. I don't know. Is the sun still up? Because I'm like in a bunker now.
It is.
Let's continue with this because it seems like a lot of people are enjoying this. It's really interesting. Let's see. We're at 11:05. The next one was at 13:06.
What do we got, y'all?
I got you. Here we go.
If you love working, it's the labor itself. Joseph Polo.
Oh!
If you could spend the day and write a song with any musician, who would it be? It used to be Bob Dylan, but then Bob came over and we actually wrote some songs together. They were on The Vault, the largest box set of all time.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
Throw that in.
All right, so I'm going to be straight with you guys, okay? We worked this out. I did something for Rhino here, and you can now go to the Rhino website and buy the box set for $500. It doesn't come with a lot of the little extra stuff that was in the safe, but you could get all the other stuff that came with it. Or that's $500, or you could buy just the music or the music with the book for like $80, which is a steal. And then, or you could get it with the Gene Simmons action figure. So, all right, I'm kidding. We didn't really work that out. I just hate the fact that he turned my question into a commercial.
I love
it right away.
And he didn't even answer the question. All right, so I know.
Used to be Bob Dylan.
No, see, that's the problem, is the used to be part.
Wait, so who is you it are, now?
He could have said, well, it used to be Bob Dylan, but I did that. So now it would be Paul McCartney. You know what I mean?
Right, it's like an answer.
So I have to reword that. I have to be honest, man. I wish I'd have asked a better question.
He has to answer the question though.
Yeah. I wish I would have asked a better question. Now I'm a little disappointed in what I asked.
You said your name. That's fun.
Well, it was fun, but I should have come up with something better. Here's the next one.
Blake Webb, what's the lasting impact you hope Kiss has going forward? I don't know, other than maybe we raise the expectations that fans have when they go to see shows. Because when I was a kid and I went to see a show, musicians would look at their shoes and think they're doing you a favor by putting on a concert. After we did fireworks and all that stuff, everybody, even wrestling, stuck in fireworks and show and all that stuff. So maybe we raised the bar.
Joey. So obviously, you know, 500 years from now, the name Kiss won't be mentioned nearly as much as it is. It's obvious. But the truth is that Kiss did raise the bar, right?
Oh, my God. Of course. I mean, listen, it's commonplace now to see these big shows. But Kiss, you know, Kiss started that stuff. And they were the big, they were the band that brought it to the forefront. I think other bands were maybe trying and experimenting it in the 70s. But Kiss brought the spectacle to the whole concert experience.
Kiss and Alice. Yep.
Yeah. Lee, do you think that you absolutely, obviously we all believe that that Kiss is the inspiration for all that stuff. You know, I even confetti, I've been at other shows and confetti at the end, and right. I've been at wrestling and there's been confetti at the end where they didn't have that when I was a kid. Joey, did they have that when you were a kid?
No, listen, again, whether it was Kiss influenced or not, I can't tell you that. But yeah, I mean, when I started going to see wrestling, there was none of that big pyro. There was none of that stuff. But, you know, everything is influenced by something. Everyone has to start. Well, I'm sure Kiss got the ideas from somewhere else as well, whether it was the circus, whether it was somewhere else that they got all that, the light and the confetti and the fireworks. They got it from somewhere too. So, you know, there's no such thing that Kiss originated it, but I think they brought it to the forefront for concerts.
Sonny, I read an article with Garth Brooks one time, and everybody knows that Kiss was one of Garth Brooks' favorite bands.
Oh, yeah.
He, you know, his father was the one that sat him down, and apparently he was singing Love Gun or something in the truck, and his father sat him down and said, "All right, boy. I don't think that's for you." I don't think the rock and roll is for you. You should try something else. But I don't know how many of you guys have ever seen him in concert. Now, I haven't seen him in concert other than watching some videos of him on YouTube. And there's tons of Kiss influence in his show. Would you say, Sonny, that if Kiss had never been around, somebody else would have come along, or no?
I'm a believer somebody else would have come along, yeah, because you can give the credit to Kiss, but I think you have to give equal credit to a Coin, Delaney, and those guys, because you can have all the ideas in the world, but if somebody ain't paying to make those ideas happen, those ideas ain't happening. It's then true. All these guys that are doing it afterwards are looking at it going, well, look, a Coin's allowing it, and he's paying for it, and it's working. And you can charge X to cover the cost. You still got to have a band that can sell it. So he's right. You can't have people looking at their shoes or talking about, you know, needling up like Alice in Chains and then put confetti at the end. Like, it's got to work too.
Yeah.
Right.
Because pyro doesn't work with the Eagles. I mean, Eagles did not have a single problem selling tickets. That's not what I'm saying. Right. They didn't need the pyro. And they didn't need to use the pyro in order to sell tickets. Kiss was... you know, their show was these people sitting on the stage and playing music, and that's what people went to see them for, or Fleetwood Mac or something like that. But Kiss was it came at all the senses, right, Joey?
Of course. I mean, again, it's not that, you know, Kiss needed it and the Eagles didn't. It's different. It's, you know, Star Wars needs special effects, right? And The Godfather doesn't. So they're just different types of bands, different types of entertainment.
Well, Kiss always said they created the show they wanted to see as kids, like, because they are, you know, Gene loved monsters and blah, blah, blah. We all read about that. So.
Yeah. And again, you know, when you went to see Kiss, when I even ever for me, you know, when I went to see Kiss, I was 5 years old, 1979, the Dynasty Tour. It wasn't just seeing a band. It was like seeing real live superheroes. Yes, I was a big comic fan. I was a big cartoon fan. It was like going to see real live superheroes that also played this incredible music, and it had this sonic boom, pun intended, that boom. Hit you, that boom, 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 that it would hit you. And it was a big spectacle, you know, and when you went to see Van Halen at the same time, It was different. It was rock and roll. It was party. It was a different, totally different atmosphere.
Yep.
Going to see Kiss at that age for me changed my life, not just for the music, but because of the superhero special effects and personas.
Of course. Okay, so let's finish this out here. Let's finish this out here.
So I soon stopped doing that.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Sorry. I wanted to make sure where did I miss that? 1322? Yeah. Okay, sorry, guys. This is an important one that I found really interesting. I think it's this one. Okay. Here we go.
The largest box set of all time. Blake Webb, what's the lasting impact you hope Kiss has going forward?
Oh, we saw this.
Look at their shoes and think they're doing you a favor by putting on a concert. Wrestling stuck in.
All right, here it is. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You raised the bar.
This is important.
Mike Campion, Jin, did you spit blood on any of the first shows that Lick It Up tour? Yes. The very first show we did was in Lisbon, Portugal. It's funny. I've met people who believe Lisbon is in Spain. It's not. It's in Portugal. That was the first show without makeup. And I did actually spit blood during the Lick It Up tour there. But it didn't feel right. So I soon stopped doing that.
So that's really interesting, isn't it, Lee? It's been a legend that Gene did that.
Right.
I have never seen pictures or video or anything like that.
I don't think I have either.
But it
just would not go. No, he's right.
Yeah, but you know, I understand why they gave it a shot, Sonny.
Yeah, they're trying to discover who they were without the makeup. I mean, they had to play with it, you know.
And that's exactly it. Exactly what Lee said, right? We know it took Gene a minute to get comfortable in his shoes, or in, you know, Golden Girl shoes or whatever you want to call it. But
his high heels.
So I can imagine somebody's, you know, either he or Paul or somebody saying, go out there, do the blood, see how it feels. And it's like, dude, this doesn't feel right. Like, I wasn't even into it.
Yeah, you got to be the demon.
Got to be the demon. All right.
But I'm surprised the blood didn't work, but the fire did. Why?
Yeah.
Because it's like a circus thing. You know, you can still get away with fire and pyro. They're still doing pyro, so it's kind of part of that. Yeah. But the blood is the demon. Come on.
All right, this is the end. Here we go.
Beth McDonald, if you could go back and speak to your 8-year-old self, what is the one piece of advice you'd give your little self to help the future?
Little self.
Chaim, ani yodea shema. Oh, I started to talk to my 8-year-old self, which means I have to speak Hebrew. See what I did there? I would say just keep on going on. Don't change a thing. Just keep working hard and you'll get there. Which is a good piece of advice to anybody. Sylvie.
Okay. So if you guys, now I cut out a lot of stuff. If you guys get the opportunity, go and go watch it.
Joe, you missed my favorite one.
Oh, okay. So I apologize. I know where that was. So they asked Gene if he had any embarrassing moment. And what did he say, Lee? Oh.
He shit himself on stage twice.
I thought he said several times. Like
he said, he said a few times and he went in a diaper.
Twice, a few times. And apparently, he had to play the show like that.
Okay, now here's my thing. I'm not surprised, but raise your hand if you had no idea that there was a diaper under that outfit. I had no idea.
A diaper?
No, there's no diaper on there.
That's what he said.
No, I don't.
I think, remember him saying a diaper joke.
No, I think he misunderstood. I don't think
he should have had a diaper. Is probably what he said.
Yeah, I think that's what he said.
Oh, I thought he said he had
a diaper. A diaper under there, no. Joe. I mean, I've worn that shit.
No.
Okay, I thought he said he had a diaper. Okay. Anyway, all right. So look, we've run. This has taken a long time, and I apologize, Sonny. I know you did some work on this thing with the 20 records. Joey, are you going to be able to be here next week?
I think I am. I mean, we could always do the records on the Patreon, Joe, to get some people over there.
What do you think, Sonny?
Oh, I don't care either way. Doesn't matter.
Okay. I have something else for Patreon. Let's use the 20 records for next week. But before, we're not going to go anywhere yet because we have an entirely new segment for the show. And it is called Stuff We Grew Up With.
Voice, Joe.
Sven did it for me. First of all, thank you guys. There's over 100 of you guys hanging out with us tonight. You guys are amazing. Don't go anywhere. Let's talk about this too. Now, we talked about Kiss for basically an hour. But, you know, one thing is that I notice that besides Kiss, because we all grew up in the same general area, even Joey being the youngest, we all still have all the same likes and stuff like that, which is amazing for the most part. You can't like everything everybody likes. But I found that I wanted to pick something that was important or that we grew up on and talk about it. So I'm going to do if it's stuff we grew up with. I want to know what you guys think
we grew up with.
You see this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Christopher Reeve.
Incredible.
Legend. Again,
legend. Still one of my favorite superhero movies.
Legend.
Of all time. You know, really the first, you know, I know there was a couple things before that, but you know, I think the, and I don't remember when it came out because I was a little too young. I saw it later on, but I think the tagline was, you'll believe a man can fly.
Right.
And you did, you know, the special effects back then were limited, but that was such an incredible movie.
Phenomenal.
Right. Sonny, were you, did you see that movie in the theater? I would have been about 9 years old.
What year did it come out?
I think 79, 78. 78. My father took me. And it was for those of you, this is personal, but for those of you who don't know, my father and I didn't see a whole lot of each other when I was a kid. So the fact that my dad took me to see this movie, this is the program that I got.
Wow.
Wow.
This was the program.
Sweet.
It was such a huge deal. And I think that was the day that it became ingrained in me to love Superman and to pay attention to Superman. Sonny, you saw it in the theater or no?
No. Number one, because it did come on 78, by the way.
78? Okay.
My first movie in a theater was Top Gun.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you've seen Superman the movie?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. Whether it's on TV, I think we probably rented it a couple of times. I thought Gene Hackman as Lex Luthor was amazing.
So good.
Him yelling, whether it was at Ned Beatty or whether it was at his secretary, whatever. Oh, just he sold it so well. It wasn't a campy yell, right? It was a good yell.
Yeah, I know that sounds weird.
Yeah. It's so weird, right? And it's kind of weird because it starts very sci-fi. And then it almost becomes more comedy action at the end.
Look at him.
Right? So isn't it kind of weird that Lex Luthor was like the comedy sidekick almost?
It was. And you know, the amazing thing is the actors, you know, all the actors in it. You know, I'll mention this later when we're doing a Patreon, but Gene mentioned, there's Miss Tessmacher in her bikini. one of the other things though, when you guys heard, okay, so Superman, obviously Lee, you know, you are
the oldest.
Well, he didn't want to say it.
No,
I told you I don't care.
No. Actually, that wasn't what I was going to say. What I was going to mention was that you are the girl on the show, didn't know a Superman was ever like a big deal.
Are you kidding me? How hot was he? Come on.
Oh, okay. So that's.
I mean, I was 14, but I was like, hey, you're good looking,
right? You know? So you know, Christopher Reeve was definitely my Superman. You know, my Superman. Same. But Superman was such a huge deal. He became so famous, you know, from it. But one of the questions that I want to ask is, when you guys do you remember what you were thinking when you heard they were going to kill him?
Oof. I mean, listen, me being a big comic book fan, I've already been collecting comic books for a very long time when they did the death of Superman. Anyone who's read comics for, you know, most of their life, like I did, knows no death sticks. 99.9 deaths come back. So it was all overhyped. It was, it was ridiculous. The hype on that was so overplayed. The storyline was great. You know, the Doomsday storyline was fun, but it's just another way to sell product.
Yeah. Sonny, did you now, I know that you like comic books. When they killed off Superman, were you one of those people that was like, I want to read it?
Well, yeah, I wanted to read it, but I'm with Joey. I'm like, this isn't the stick. Like, you can't get rid of Superman. Like, that's not going to happen.
Come on.
But we also didn't know at that time we were going to, like, multiverses and shit. Like, that shit's confusing now, to be honest with you. I'd rather just have the one world and...
Well, Superman is... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Superman's not my favorite DC because I remember when I first watched it, I'm like, God, everybody loves this guy. Like, I want an underdog. Like, this
Kite Man?
This is not my guy. This is not my guy.
Yes, so. Listen, that's always been the case with Superman. To make a good Superman movie was he's so powerful.
Yeah.
How do you make a good movie? And that's, you know, listen, that's why they wrote that into the comic book. That's why it works. You had to have kryptonite. You had to have something to stop him, right? Even Lex Luthor, who has no powers, was able to outsmart him, put the necklace on him, and just depower him. So you needed that little bit of human aspect to Superman. Otherwise, it doesn't work because he's too strong.
And man, Christopher Reeve was freaking perfect, wasn't he?
Perfect. I mean, everyone in that movie was
made for the role, really.
Yeah. I'm totally blown away by somebody messaging. I'm not going to say your name. And damn it,
oh,
Sven, you put it up.
Yes, I could see that.
That's not true.
You do look much younger than I do. Maybe, anyway,
maybe
all right,
grandfather.
We're going to fight. I want to show you guys a couple of things that I have that are so interesting. I love Superman. I always have loved Superman. I have the exciting Christmas stories of Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman.
Whoa, what the?
Is that a record?
It's a record.
Wow. What year is that?
I don't even know. I found it at a record store and I was like, that's
hilarious.
Awesome.
That has to be late 70s.
They didn't release a $1,000 box set of that? 26 colored vinyl?
That record is $600. I made that up. All right. And then I have this right here, which I think that you guys might find interesting. I found this at a record. Oh, before we go, I want to mention the comic book store that was selling the Superman, the Death of Superman. When I got there, there was a line out the door and down the street, right?
Wow.
Check this out. You ready for this? In order to buy the comic, you had to buy $40 worth of merchandise in the store.
Oh, geez.
Smart.
Yeah,
smart.
They hyped it up.
Alice smart.
Yeah. That was what happened. Yep. I remember being mad, but I got one. Anyway, so I have these four records here. They are they came out through Kellogg's. Of course, I did not get them. I did not get them when they came out because I'm not that old. But they are the original radio broadcasts of Superman. So you basically listen like kids did. When they, you know, before TV,
right around the radio,
and you watch, and you use your brain, you use your imagination. I can tell you that I've put these on, and my kid lasted 8 seconds because you know they can't do it anymore. But, it's just one of those things, you know. I love Superman, I always thought Superman was wonderful. It broke my heart when Christopher Reeve died, and and that's stuff we grew up on. I didn't push the
say
button.
It right, Joe.
No, Sven,
push the button.
Stuff we grew up on.
It's been stuff we grew up with. I don't even name. Next week when we get together, I'll have something else.
Amazing.
And at the end of the show, we'll talk about that. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. Next week, we'll do the 20 record studio records in order. Hopefully you guys will be here with us then because we had a great time. Now we're getting ready to go over the Patreon. We record, we leave it on Patreon, and you guys get a chance to see it. Join our Patreon. Check it out. It's free for a week. You cannot lose anything. if you just try it for 1 week. Sonny, you have anything to add?
Yeah, sign up for Patreon this week, because when we go over there, I'm going to tell you some stories about Ace that only I know from the boat.
Ooh, son of a bitch. Joey.
Now, speaking of Ace, get out there, buy the new 10,000 volts vinyl, CD, whatever you can find. I'm loving seeing all the comments online. My favorite are when people say it's growing on them more and more and more. It's always fun. I never like an album the first time I listen to it, almost any album. And the more I listen to Ace, it just gets better and better for me.
Absolutely. Lee?
I'm still waiting to receive my CD from that MHRK, whatever it is.
their website.
That's where I had to go to get one.
Heavy, yeah. MNRK, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the J-O-E-Y.
You know what I'm gonna say? First, before I go anywhere, man, thank you guys for being here with us. We have a good time. Next week we're gonna have an extra new segment for the show. I can't tell you what it's about yet, but it'll be exciting and fun. And go check out our Patreon. You know what I'm gonna say? We love KISS and we love KISS podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're gonna hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1.
Goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.